This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We begin the third and final hour of the show. Still a lot of football to go this afternoon and this week. Tennessee getting ready for Florida coming up on Saturday. SEC play is here for Josh Heupel and the Vols. We'll catch you up on some of the comments from Tennessee's head coach as quarterback and the health status of a few players still unknown right now to begin the week. But Heather, we are beginning the week here on Sports 180 at Land Rover Knoxville.
Land Rover Knoxville, where they have certified pre-owned Land Rover and Range Rover SUVs, low mile Rovers that are thoroughly inspected by Land Rover technicians to ensure that these vehicles are the best of the best in terms of quality, maintenance, service, and that they look sharp as a tack. They also come with a 1-year unlimited mile warranty or a 2-year 100,000 mile warranty, whichever comes first. Right now, you can come by and get registered for the Yeti cooler giveaway that they have going on, or you can find them out, find them on social media and also get registered. But it's Land Rover Knoxville right here on Parkside Drive where you belong.
That's right. We'll be here until 3 o'clock, so time to stop by and say hello while we are here. And you can always find them online, LandRoverKnoxville.com, ahead of Monday Night Football tonight with the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. That'll wrap up Week 2 of the NFL, and as we mentioned, Tennessee and Florida, and quarterback is a question. What exactly is the status of Joe Milton? That was not answered today by Josh Heupel.
Heupel opted out.
in terms of how that would affect the quarterback position, if he's available, would he start? And Josh Heupel said not going to answer in a hypothetical. And then the status of a few other injured players still a question, as Jalen Hyatt's been coming back from the head injury he suffered 2 weeks ago. You have Jabari Small's status to get figured out. The offensive line on the interior dealing with some injuries. So some things to get worked out over the next few days for Tennessee, because obviously you want as many players, certainly as many starters, to be available as you can have on the road against Florida.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And we've been talking about just, you know, where Tennessee is at from a depth perspective, especially on the offensive line. The offensive line continues to be the Achilles heel of this Tennessee team. It's kind of just the weakest link at this point in time. And so those guys are also going to have to play with some pride. You know, if Jeremiah Crawford gets an opportunity to make some noise, like what can you do? You know, like you're being challenged personally. Can you go out and play a little better? You know, if that's for all of these guys, Cade Mays, he needs to go out and play a really good, complete game. I think he still has a lot to show some NFL scouts. And I think he also, from a leadership perspective, has got to show his teammates that what happened 2 weeks ago in the Pitt game is not who he is, and he can play better than that. And so, you know, eventually you got to go out and prove it. Eventually we got to stop talking about what you can do and start talking about what you're doing. And so that would be a point that I would make to a couple of these guys, like, yeah, man, we sure do talk about you in terms of potential a lot. Yeah. When are you going to start putting that up?
Speaking of potential, Florida went with Emory Jones at quarterback the whole way. Anthony Richardson's status still a bit of a question, but more confidence, it looks like, coming out of Gainesville that he could be 100%, which I would think would make him available, and I would plan for him to be out there on the field at some point Saturday.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, even before he was just unavailable for the Alabama game, Emory Jones was their primary guy, and then Richardson, they had, like, special stuff for him, special kind of looks, whatever, you know, based on whatever defenses were doing or whatever Florida wanted to do offensively. So I think you're spot on when you're like, you have to prepare for that. That's a guy that is, at this point in time, a really good wrinkle guy. He's going to throw some wrinkles into your preparations.
Yeah, athletically, he is a concern.
Oh, my God. He's a freak. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a kid, and it's still just so crazy that he was as under the radar as you can get when you're participating in Elite 11. He was not the guy coming out of Elite 11 that we were all, like, talking about, clamoring over, oh, this is somebody. But this is a guy that, I mean, grew up in Gainesville and wanted to play for the Gators, and he's an absolute stud. I mean, what did you guys say his measurement? 235?
Yeah, 6'4", 235.
Yeah, he's trucking. Mm-hmm. I mean, that hamstring, as long as that hammy's rubbed out, he's going to be trucking some people. Holy
yeah.
smokes.
Now, perhaps a questionable move, but he was doing some flips before the game on the field.
I mean, if you're Dan Mullen, you're just like, what are you doing? You got a bold hammy. You know, like, calm down. But, hey, these guys, they're excited. Like,
Lamar did a flip into the end zone last night. Did you see that on that last touchdown?
Yeah. God, he's just amazing. I love watching these athletic quarterbacks that can just do what other people cannot even do, like on a video game. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't even imagine what these guys are able to do. And it's becoming like the new norm. Like, this is just how you play quarterback now, and it's just incredibly captivating.
Yeah, my Fort Sanders flexibility rating was needs some attention.
Work. I had a few of those. My push-ups hashtag yeah. needs work.
So I'm not quite in the Lamar Anthony Richardson category athletically.
But you still got moves. I mean, you got games.
Core strength was rock solid, though.
Yeah, yeah. You hope that maybe Richardson on the shelf one more week. You don't want to break out the truck stick on you, that's for sure. That guy's a beast. I mean, it just is what it is at this point in time. And we talk about it, like, we'll talk about it all week long. I mean, there are some bright spots on this Tennessee team, but everybody at this point in time is just going to have to play better than what you've seen to this point in an extremely hostile environment.
You ready for this one out the door here in segment number one?
All right, bring it on. Bring it on.
From the official Memphis Tigers Athletics Twitter account. They posted a photo of Memphis's return man, special teams player of the week, by the way, in the conference, crossing the goal line into the end zone with the caption, starting the work week with the best SEC record in the state of Tennessee.
Nice. Nice. Hey, they also read that CBS article that said Memphis is the best college football team in the state of Tennessee.
Prove them wrong. We'll see. We'll come back. We'll talk about the SEC. Tennessee against Florida. What will it take for the Vols? What about Alabama and Georgia there at the top of the conference? Mike Griffith of the AJC joins us when we come back as we continue today at Land Rover Knoxville, where you belong, on Parkside Drive on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports 180 continues this afternoon at Land Rover Knoxville, where you belong. We'll be here for another 45 minutes, a little less than that, until Sports Talk will take over. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward, as we go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to welcome to the show Mike Griffith, who covers Georgia and the SEC for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, DogNation.com. Mike, we appreciate the time, as always. What should we make of what we saw between Alabama and Florida on Saturday, with Alabama getting the close win against the Gators?
Yeah, it's a lot to sort out for sure. You know, and I think Alabama looks more beatable than maybe they had before, especially you need to consider they lost 6 first-round draft picks. And, you know, Saban and the Tide have been great at reloading, but, you know, that's a lot to replace. You think about Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris, Alex Leatherwood. I mean, those are first-round guys, and, you know, you just don't put the next man up. You're going to have some drop-off. If you're going to get Alabama, obviously you're going to get them early, right, where they're a little green and maybe not as experienced in some of those places, not as dynamic. Yet still, they bolted out to such a fast lead. I think many of us thought, you know, here we go again. It's going to be a blowout. But, you know, Florida adjusted well to Bryce Young. They kept him hemmed in. He's not a very big guy. I really wonder, does he make it through the year if he gets hit a few times? I mean, that's the caveat, if somebody's got to get to him. But, yeah, I mean, Alabama looked beatable. You got to give Florida credit. They were able to run the ball effectively. Emory Jones, game of his life, playing for his position, booze in his own stadium. A lot of those Florida guys are telling me Anthony Richardson is much, much better, and it's only a matter of time before he overtakes Emory Jones. So Emory's going to need another good performance against Tennessee in the Swamp. And I do think that the Swamp is a factor. Obviously, you know, as I've said, you know, Tennessee's had some issues there. A lot of teams have issues there.
Yeah, Alabama did in the second half. They had some issues. Let me ask you this, Mike. Whenever you're looking at the matchup coming up for Tennessee, going down to the Swamp, what is going to be some important factors? Because we know this isn't a lineup and beat your guy straight apples to apples, you know, game. What is Tennessee going to have to do? What are some things that they can create, I guess, opportunity-wise to try and pull off such a big upset?
Well, you can't fall behind. I mean, this is a game Tennessee's got to strike fast. And you look, everybody, you always want to start fast. You always want to have the lead early. The game plan is never to fall behind, right? But it's particularly important in that environment. With as many inexperienced guys as Tennessee has, I just can't imagine not going with Hooker in this situation. You know, I watched the Tennessee Tech game, and you know, the guy is so dynamic with such upside, you know, and that's how you beat Florida. I don't think you're going to beat them, you know, with the Milton guy throwing the ball in the park. And you've got to do a better job trusting your receivers. You know, part of the success that Georgia and JT Daniels have had throwing the deep ball has to do with the fact that JT's strategy is to never overthrow. You overthrow and you never give your guy a chance. If you're going to go deep, if you're going to find that one-on-one coverage, give your receiver a chance. Hang it up there. It's not a 50-50 ball. Your receiver knows where it's going to be. The defender doesn't. It's more like 80-20, and it's a calculated shot. And this is nothing that Coach Heupel doesn't already know. You know, just the question is he willing to make the move at quarterback? I don't have the medical chart. I don't know the condition of the transfer from Michigan. But, you know, the Hooker guy, certainly, Hendon Hooker, he certainly looked dynamic and like a playmaker to me. And, you know, play your best. It's going to take your best to beat Florida.
We're talking to Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, DogNation.com. Can you update us on the status of where Georgia is from a personnel standpoint? I know they're still trying to get guys back as they looked awfully good, I thought, against South Carolina on Saturday.
Yeah, they didn't really finish as strong as anyone would have liked. I mean, they're winning, what, 40-6 going into the play. Listen, South Carolina's got a quarterback now. That Luke Doty guy made some throws. They had four passes of over 35 yards, and that guy's a player. Keep an eye on him, and don't be surprised if South Carolina doesn't beat Kentucky next week in Columbia. But as far as Georgia goes, Kyaris Jackson came back. He's kind of a, you know, solid veteran guy that plays in the slot. He's at receiver. They're talking about maybe having Tyke Smith and Darnell Washington back. Tyke was a transfer from West Virginia and All-American and plays that star position, that hybrid DB linebacker. That's key because the Georgia secondary is very green. And Darnell Washington is, you know, he's kind of a transformational player. I mean, I know that's a big tag to hang on a second-year guy that some people listen and probably haven't heard of. But, you know, the guy's 6'7", 280. And he catches everything thrown his way. He's just an impossible matchup the way he uses his body, and he can knock you down. In addition to being the tight end that can catch, he can knock you down in the matchup. So he's a true dual threat tight end, and it really adds another dimension to Georgia to have another pass-catching tight end like that. The other guy, Brock Bowers, this freshman, I mean, this kid is a freak. He's been Georgia's best receiver. He's from Northern California. He's about 6'4", 230, runs a 4.5 40 with a 40-inch vertical, and he has been on the money. I mean, he looks like a pro out there. And honestly, I mean, I hate to throw this name out there, but I told the people down in Georgia, I said, you know what? The last time I saw a freshman tight end look this good, he wore the number one, and his name was Jason Witten.
Is he one of those 100 five-stars that Shade Beamer was talking about on Georgia's roster?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, yeah, I think some people might have had him as a four or a five, but yeah, you know, Beamer's a great guy. Everybody in Knoxville remembers Shane Beamer being a part of the Tennessee staff and, you know, working for Coach Chavis as a GA over there. You know, I was impressed with South Carolina. I'm telling you, I know what the scoreboard says, but let me tell you, that team fought into the fourth quarter. They played just as physical as Georgia. They outscored them in the fourth quarter. I mean, they didn't back down. Georgia can just overwhelm you with the talent, and they did at times. But South Carolina's got some receivers, and they got a quarterback, and that's a good start. They got a D-line, too. That team, you know, they look bought in. Now, who knows where they're going to be as the season progresses. We know how things can change from week to week. I mean, we saw it last year when Jeremy Pruitt lost the locker room after the Georgia game. He crushed his players with negativity, and they didn't show up the next week. And, you know, how does Shane Beamer manage this loss? He sounded very positive. He had a lot of positive messages. He told his guys that as bad as we played, he was still pleased with the effort. And so we'll see how that works moving forward. And as for Georgia, it's kind of a – it's a payback game. Now, Kirby's not going to say it, and the players kind of dodge the questions, you know, but this Vanderbilt program last year, you know, they canceled their game against Georgia because they said they had COVID issues, but then they got enough guys back so that they could play Tennessee, but then they canceled the game with Georgia again. And the significance of that was that the Georgia seniors were playing to become the all-time winningest class of seniors ever. They were playing for legacy. They never had a senior day at Sanford Stadium because Vanderbilt didn't show up. And so this is their opportunity, and we'll see if they take that approach. You guys know they always look for reasons to get angry and mad. They've got the motivation. Not like I expect much resistance from Vanderbilt anyway, but the question is, does Kirby pour it on in the fourth quarter? Do they throw the football, or does he run the football into the ground and take a 40-point win?
So would Kirby take exception to another SEC East team having Georgia as their homecoming game? That's rhetorical. That's rhetorical. Let me ask you this, Mike. Who do you think is the best team in the SEC right now? And then outside of Alabama and Georgia, is anybody else playing for a playoff spot right now through 3 weeks?
Oh, well, sure, you know, because things do change from week to week. Right now, I'd take Georgia. And the reason I would take Georgia is because Alabama's not a finished product, and we saw that. You know, they didn't handle Florida's comeback well. They were very fortunate that Dan Mullen swallowed the whistle there with that. I mean, for all we hear about Dan Mullen's creativity, oh, he's this, he's that, he's a genius. Okay, that's your two-point play, Heather. Josh, I think we could have drawn up something more creative than that. Then, you know, like, this, that's it? That's the play of the game, Mullen. That's it, right? The read option dive. That's the create. You know, that was really disappointing. And, you know, for Florida and for their fans. And it is interesting, though. You know, Florida's saying that they'll see Alabama again. Florida's claiming they have the best defensive line. There's a lot of confidence there. There's a lot of swag. You know, and it is interesting that Vanderbilt scheduled, did they schedule Georgia as their home? I thought, no, that was Tennessee that did that, Heather.
Yeah. Yeah.
Georgia, Tennessee.
That's why it was rhetorical. It was rhetorical, Mike.
Yeah, I think Mike was being rhetorical there in the moment as well. Yep. I know what just happened.
You know, Kirby is just, let me tell you how uptight this guy is. It's unbelievable. I'm trying to think. He's definitely the most uptight coach I've ever covered. So this morning on SEC Now, Eli Drinkwitz made a comment that, you know, it should be illegal that Georgia was able to hire Will Muschamp on their staff, right? I asked Kirby that question, and he got defensive. What are you saying? So when somebody gets fired, they're not supposed to be able to get another job? And then one of the other guys, well, Coach, he was joking. Oh, okay, he said. I was thinking, how do you take that personal? But he takes everything personal. And I don't think he beat Tennessee. He's never said it, but I just don't think he likes Tennessee very much. I just get that drift. There's certain things that, or I don't think he likes me either, but there's certain things that just kind of chap people, and you can just tell that he gets pissed off about things. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So I that was a good question, Heather. I wonder if that'll be circled.
What's the latest at Mike Griffith 32? What's the latest with your relationship with SEC fans on social media?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Florida fans love me. I can tell you that. you know, listen, when you do the SEC Network stuff and they ask you questions, you've got to be honest. You know, it's kind of like being on the witness stand. And you don't do yourself any kind of a service by trying to say the political. Everybody can stay in the middle. But that's not why people. I mean, look, Josh, you know, I know, and Heather, both of you give your opinions, and that's what makes it's fun. Nobody wants to hear, well, maybe, maybe not, somewhere in the middle, gray. And they ask me about Florida. And the reality is, you know, that was an 8-4 program last year, and Dan Mullen wore a Halloween costume to a press conference. And that's just not appropriate. And the reason it's not appropriate, I mean, contrast that to Philip Fulmer. I mean, sorry to go back to Fulmer days. I tried to convince Philip Fulmer to ride his Harley Davidson through the team. He wouldn't do it. He said, there's no way I can do that. I represent the entire state of Tennessee. I tried to get Philip Fulmer to give some of his smart aleck responses to Steve Spurrier on the record. He wouldn't do it because he said, I represent the entire state. You know, and then you got Dan Mullen dressing up as Darth Vader at a top 10 academic institution. You can't do that. You can't act that way. The guy is a Looney Tune. And I guess we're going to find out if he's a good enough coach, because Lane Kiffin ain't exactly a saint or a citizen of the year. and he's got a pretty good football team. But the reality is, I think Florida, I'm not buying in, and I could be wrong. They could run the table. Maybe they'll beat ten. Maybe Georgia will have four guys get injured before they play him again this year. But the reality of it is, I've got a strong opinion that this Dan Mullen team doesn't belong in the same conversation with what we saw from Urban Meyer and Steve Spurrier. And they're kidding themselves if they claim that. And I've kind of called them out on that. And that's not a popular opinion with people in Florida, but, you know, you got to keep it real.
I like the juice you're bringing, Mike. We're not even in midseason, but you're in midseason form at Mike Griffith 32 and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, where you can read his work, dognation.com, covering Georgia. We appreciate the time talking some SEC football, Mike, and we'll check in again next week.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Mike joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
I think I agree, too, with his power ranking. I think if we were ranking SEC teams right now, I would have Georgia number one and Alabama number two. Still, though, I don't want to sleep on the caliber of win that it took from that retooled Alabama team to go down into the swamp and win the way that they did and hang on. I don't want to discredit that, but, man, I love Georgia's defense. It's really good.
It's loaded. Yeah, it's obscene.
What
the
about
amount of
you?
Talent.
Are you similar, or are you, hey, Alabama's still the king until somebody beats them?
So I think I lean that way. Georgia's my pick to win the SEC, so I don't know if this contradicts itself, but they haven't played yet. And Alabama, like I look at the – I know it was closer than it was expected to be, but I look at that as a positive. They went to Florida and won the game.
Absolutely.
Like Florida should not be dropping. I think they dropped in the coaches poll, not the AP poll. If anything, Florida should move up after that performance. So I would say, hey, Alabama's still number one. That offense is still loaded. They had to play a really good team on the road, so I'd keep them there. But I lean Georgia to pull off the upset at some point. We'll see. Plenty of time before they'll actually have to play one another, if they do. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We have another 30 minutes to go, then Sports Talk will take over. Let's hit a midday sportsman as we continue at Land Rover Knoxville on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
Kickoff time for Tennessee and Missouri has been announced that will be a noon kickoff in Columbia next weekend. Monday Night Football tonight, the Packers will take on the Lions. Kickoff of that one is at 8:15, and that can be heard here on AM 990. In Major League Baseball, the Braves will be at the Diamondbacks at 9:40. The Reds host the Pirates. First pitch of that one is at 6:40, and the Yankees host the Rangers at 7:05. AP College Football Poll, Alabama State at number one, Georgia number two, Oregon three, Oklahoma four, Iowa five, Penn State slid up to number six, Texas A&M still ranked at number seven. To round out the top 10 is Cincinnati at eight, Clemson at nine, and Ohio State fell down to number 10. Other SEC teams inside the top 25, Florida stays at number 11, Ole Miss up to number 13, Arkansas at 16, and Auburn slid back to number 23. Have a good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
Back on Sports 180, it's giveaway time as we are here at Land Rover Knoxville, where you belong. Heather Harrington, how about this? It's National Pepperoni Day, which we celebrate very much here. National Pepperoni Pizza Day, excuse me. So the first person to call Logan Ward at 656-WINS, 656-WINS, and wishes him a happy National Pepperoni Pizza Day, wins a $25 gift card to Papa Murphy's, with four locations serving Knoxville on Brooklawn Street in Knoxville, North Broadway, Clinton Highway, and Middlebrook Pike. Perfect for football season. We are off and running. You can join the Take and Bake Revolution at Papa Murphy's. So 656-WINS, the first person. You have to wish Logan a happy National Pepperoni Pizza Day. Maybe throw some pineapple in there. You win a $25 gift card to Papa Murphy's.
Yes, and thanks to Papa Murphy's for allowing us to do this giveaway. Super fun, and can vouch for Papa Murphy's. The quality, high quality. You take these pizzas, preheat your oven, pop them in, and they're just in time for kickoff, whatever the case may be. It's just a great, great pizza from Papa Murphy's.
That's right. We've had a good time today looking back at the weekend, going ahead and looking at the Florida game coming up on Saturday, which we will do all week long, but it's going to take a lot. That Florida team looked good. Part of what it might take is Florida going in. You kind of hope sleepwalking a little bit coming off the Alabama game, but you could also ask, will they be motivated because they came close to winning, to show, hey, let's go out there and prove what we really are. That's what you're, if you're Tennessee, you're hoping Florida doesn't have that mindset.
Yeah, and I would think that they will not have that mindset. If this was a noon game in the swamp, I would kind of be, I would put it in the category of, oh man, maybe you catch Florida, you know, they've got the Alabama hangover, a little bit of disappointment. They think, oh, we're going to roll Tennessee, so they have a slow start or whatever. But with it being a night game, night games are just special. We always talk about it. And watching that Florida game, that in the 3:30 slot last week versus Alabama, I mean, that crowd was just absolutely vicious. It was like its own monster. And don't forget, for a lot of these young guys, even these sophomores or redshirt sophomores, they haven't been to a lot of hostile environments like this. I mean, this is its own unique animal where the stadium is actually alive and can determine or have an impact on how you play, whether it's a distraction, whether you get nervous, whatever the case may be. It's going to be its own monster. And so I don't know. I feel like Florida's going to come in very motivated. So you're going to have to do some other things.
The advantages are very clear for Florida.
Yeah.
Home field, roster, what they're playing for. And the flip side, Tennessee coming in, having not played on the road and having to deal with that environment that will be there in Gainesville.
That having, at this point in time, I would imagine that the players know a little bit more about what personnel is going to be used than what we know.
Sure.
But you still have question marks at quarterback spot. You have question marks on the offensive line. So there's just some question marks. Is Jabari Small going to be back in the fold after that injury in the Pitt game? So, there's just more questions for Tennessee, who's also a borderline bowl team. I mean, we were talking about Florida. This was a team that played in the SEC title game last year. Maybe we don't want to acknowledge the size of gap that it is between these two programs at this point in time. It was definitely made larger by the previous regime. So now Josh Heupel is tasked with trying to close that.
And Tennessee really struggled to run the ball against Bowling Green and at times against Tennessee Tech. Well, Alabama struggled to run the ball against Florida. So what does that tell you?
That their defense is pretty good. Yeah.
Up front could present some problems. Now, you're going to try to move the ball through the air, and Tennessee's going to try to hit some big plays down the field, I would imagine, whether it's Joe Milton or Hendon Hooker. I think you're just going to have to try that. But how often can you be successful? Tennessee's not had a lot of luck there to this point. That has to change. Literally, their luck has to change. At Florida, because they have, is it even recent history at this point? Is 15 years recent history? But they know that they have owned Tennessee, and Tennessee's going to try to flip that.
Yeah, and it's just going to happen. That's why I look at the defensive side of the ball. Like, can you force Emory Jones into a bad look? Or he's not a flawless quarterback. I mean, he's got some flaws. We'll see what happens if Richardson comes in. I mean, you know, they've got some question marks too. But they've got some really elite talent. They have elite talent. So you're asking this Tennessee team that is undermanned to go in and just, you know, take care of this big bad team that proved how big and bad they were on Saturday. It's like, it's not even a question anymore. Like, we were questioning going into the Alabama game, can Florida hang with them?
And they hung.
And they hung.
They hung. If not for this extra point, they might have won that game.
Yeah.
Or a couple other plays as well. So Tennessee's a 20-point underdog for a reason. We'll have all week to talk about it. We'll come back for the final segment of today's show. We'll have the Power Poll, winners and losers out of the weekend, as we wrap things up at Land Rover Knoxville, where you belong, on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back for the final segment of Sports 180. It's been a lot of fun here. Big appreciation to Land Rover Knoxville for hosting us here on Parkside Drive.
Yeah, it's been absolutely wonderful. If you are thinking of upgrading your ride, well, look no further than Land Rover of Knoxville, where you belong. We are talking about certified pre-owned Land Rover and Range Rover SUVs that are low-mile Rovers, inspected by the technicians here to make sure that these vehicles are the best of the best, that they meet the Range Rover, Land Rover, high, high standards. They are attention-grabbing. They've got all kinds of different colors, all sorts of makes and models. So come by and check out these amazing certified pre-owned Land Rover and Range Rover SUVs. And then because also people are trying to get in these from their other luxury vehicles, they've got a great selection of pre-owned luxury vehicles as well. They've got Acura, Mercedes-Benz, Lexus, Infiniti. So they are stocked and loaded with high-quality pre-owned vehicles. So they're going to upgrade you here anytime you walk through the doors on Parkside Drive at Land Rover Knoxville, again, where you belong.
LandRoverKnoxville.com is the website. So we are off and running here this week. How are you feeling? It's only a Monday. You got to pace yourself through the week.
Unfortunately, this is just in that is what it is category. You know,
sure.
Can Tennessee, I'm going to be sitting back watching the game, probably with a cocktail. this is my birthday weekend. And seeing what Tennessee can do. I mean, you know, It's like Jake Paul taking on Floyd Mayweather at this point. I mean, you know, what can you do? Can you land a couple of punches? We'll see.
Get some YouTube hits.
Hopefully not for anything that you wouldn't want to be on YouTube. But no, so I guess to answer your question again in a very roundabout way, it would not be confident. And it's just, we'll see what happens. I want to get to the Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolinas of the world.
Man. All right.
I mean, how are you feeling? How are you feeling about this team's chances? What do you think?
Well, I will tell you, I don't know that I do with much confidence, but on the Sports Source yesterday, so the Chuck Cavalaris line, he set it a few points lower than what the Vegas line is, and I took Tennessee.
What did he have, 17?
17 or 17 and a half. I don't recall if there was the hook. But,
all right. Chucky C note.
Yeah. Am I a crazy person?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm leaning towards.
Part of my explanation was backdoor cover for Tennessee last year. Now came down to a fourth down toss into the end zone. So very backdoor. But why not again?
Yeah. Why not again? There's some
now,
reasons.
That was also a game where in the second half, Florida players were on the sideline using the whiteboard to connect with girls on Instagram. So it wasn't like it was a.
They
super
weren't dialed
competitive.
In.
Yeah, yeah. They weren't, but maybe they won't be this week.
Was Trey Smith on that offensive line last year? Remind me.
He was.
Okay. The
was,
guy that pancaked his very first block in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. He won't be suited up in orange this week. He will not.
No. We'll see.
Ty Chandler and his 200 yards will be at North Carolina.
No kidding. He's top 25 right now in Division I rushing.
He had
He's
a
like
monster
17.
Game. Yeah. He had a monster game against Virginia.
Go Ty.
Yeah.
Love that. And I still want to see what Tennessee can do. My 7-5 is obviously taking a hit. It's bleeding right now. It might need some attention. It's not a flesh wound. It's more than a flesh wound. But when you get past this game, how healthy are you? What's on the table? We'll just have to reassess after Monday.
All right. You got to pace yourself on Saturday. It's a night game. You have to pace yourself all week. You have to put up with me. So we'll keep that in mind as well. As we get ready to wrap things up here at Land Rover Knoxville, let's hit the power pole. All righty, Heather Harrington, as we begin today's Power Poll, we have our top five winners, top three losers coming out of the weekend. Would you like to lead us off?
You betcha. Coming in at number five, shouts to Max Homa getting his third PGA Tour victory. Oh, also, I had two honorable mentions. You go, Memphis. Do you. They're just showing the Big 12 what they're missing out on, I guess. And also, Matt Corral, 7 touchdowns? Holy smokes. I mean, I know you were playing too late, but geez, 7 touchdowns. So those were my two honorable mentions. Number 5 is Max Homa. Number 4, Penn State. Incredible win, incredible environment. It's why we all watch college football, why we all love college football. Good on you.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3 is Alabama for escaping the swamp with a win. Very impressive. Number 2, the 7 undefeated teams in the NFL right now, which includes your Las Vegas Raiders, and
Hello.
John's Denver Broncos. So kudos to all of you guys. And number one, I think the biggest winner this weekend, Lamar Jackson. You can put the Ravens in there. You can put the video, hey, Lamar, you want to go for it here? I mean, it's just all so wonderful handing Pat Mahomes his first September loss. My number three loser on the weekend, the Texans. They lost Tyrod Taylor. Who's going to play quarterback? Oh, it's not the guy that's being paid millions of dollars to play quarterback. Okay, so
their best quarterback will not be playing quarterback. Yeah.
Good luck figuring that out this week. You do have a game, so we'll look for some developments. Number two, Pat Mahomes. We never get to say in September that he's a loser, but he lost. So you got to call a spade. And number one, officiating. Officiating just across the board was atrocious, and I feel bad for officials. Like, most of you guys do a great job, but
some improvements to be made.
SEC crews were rough this weekend.
As we say hello to John Wilkerson, John, nice to see you there at the top of the AFC West.
Hey, isn't it great? What, isn't the view outstanding?
It is nice.
Just wish the Chargers and Chiefs knew what we knew.
Good luck catching up, we might say.
That's right.
And I'm going to regret.
I'm going to regret
saying what I just did. John Wilkerson, your top five winners, top three losers out of the weekend.
Honorable mention, going to go AJ Allmendinger, dramatic finish at Bristol to win the Xfinity regular season title. At number five, I'm going Kyle Larson as he got the gift-wrapped win in Bristol. Sure hope he's got a nice fruit basket that's going to go Chase Elliott's way. At number four, I'm going Penn State. Number three, your Las Vegas Raiders. Number two, the Tennessee Titans. And number one, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. That was a significant cloud that they were able to pull themselves out from under. Losers on the weekend, honorable mention, Clemson and Ohio State. Last time they both slipped in the polls after winning, goodness. Number three, I'm going to go the New Orleans Saints. How is that kind of turnaround on the bad side possible from one week to the next? Number two, Chiefs and Pat Mahomes. That's what it feels like to lose in September. And number one, I mentioned him earlier, Chase Elliott. Sure, the resume says Winston Cup champion, but his actions Saturday were strictly Bush.
Ooh.
That's well done there, John. Well
nice.
Done. All right. Honorable mentions on the winner side, John Harbaugh and math. He said the math says let's try to get this 1 yard instead of trying to stop Pat Mahomes from picking up all those that he will inevitably get. Also, Joe Doyle, 51 yards on the field goal, helped Memphis win it against Mississippi State in the SEC. Number five winner, Ted Lasso, 4 Emmy Awards, getting the recognition very much deserved. Kyle Larson, number four. The Tennessee Titans, 0-2 would have felt really bad on a plane ride home. Instead, they come back. Derrick Henry, still a good running back in the NFL. That was a big win for the Titans on the road against Seattle and the 12th man. I have Penn State number two with a cool home environment, and then the Baltimore Ravens, big Sunday night win against the Chiefs. Losers, the Miami Hurricanes. What exactly are you doing as a program?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's brutal.
Florida State, 0-3. So I'm putting those two teams together. Yeah. Not great, Bob. UCLA number two. They look great against LSU and then against Fresno State. Not. Officiating number one. It could have been better over the weekend, and I don't mean to pick, but just in general, college and the NFL, there were too many what's going on here calls of the week. That is the Power Poll, top winners and losers out of the weekend as we get ready for Sports Talk at 3 o'clock. John, what's coming up next?
Well, we have our Monday guest that we always look forward to talking to, and that would be Dr. Jerry Punch joining us at 3:30. We also will have Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com at 5 o'clock. We'll get our practice report a little bit early on a Monday with Eric Kane, so that'll be around 5:50. We'll name our breakout Knoxville Player of the Week for last week in high school football. And, of course, once we've given away the Sports Fix at 6, that's when we put the rule book under the microscope. And so much to examine this week as we'll catch up with SEC replay official Gerald Hodges, who is always such a great sport when it comes to just explaining here's what should have been done and here's what the rule book says.
So two players can't wear the same jersey number at the same time?
That's supposed to be a big no, a big fat one. But hey, you know what? Who got hurt?
So, John, is that just the 6 o'clock hour, or are you guys extending into the 7 o'clock hour for today's show?
Well, actually, we've encouraged the Vol Network to push Big Orange Hotline back at 9.
So. Yeah. A busy sports talk is ahead. We'll get out of your way, John. We appreciate it. Look forward to sports talk in just a few minutes.
Hope you guys have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Thanks. We'll be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock for Heather Harrington, Jay Lyford right here, Logan Ward producing. Big thanks to Land Rover Knoxville, where you belong, for hosting us here today on Parkside Drive. Sports Talk's next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.